Please get your Bibles and read with me from Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We will read the Lord's Prayer. Verse 9 down to verse 13. Afterwards, we will also read Lord's Day 46. Lord's Day 46. First, let's read Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Although this morning, we will only focus on the first part of verse 9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Lord's Day 46. I will read the questions and then please respond with the answers. Why did Christ command us to call God our Father?
At the very beginning of our prayer, Christ wants to kindle in us what is basic to our prayer, the childlike awe and trust that God through Christ has become our Father. Our fathers do not refuse us the things of this life. God, our Father, will be in us refuse to give us what we ask in faith.
Why the words, "Who art in heaven"?
These words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty as something earthly, and to expect everything for body and soul from His almighty power.
Thank you. We start a new series on the Lord's Prayer, and this prayer can be divided into 8 sections. The first section, which is our focus in this message, is what we call the address, Our Father in Heaven. And that's the title of this message. And what I will do in this sermon is give you 3 basic implications of this portion of the Scripture or the Lord's Prayer. And here's the first one. Those who pray must address their prayers to God the Father. In the opening words of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is teaching us to address our prayers to His Father. And if we don't address our prayers to His Father, we should not expect a reply from His Father. I remember, boys and girls, some time ago, I mailed a letter to someone. A few days later, the letter came back to me. What happened? I mistakenly wrote down my address on the area where I was supposed to write the address of the recipient. And so my letter did not reach the recipient. Wrong address. Likewise, when we pray to God, we must have the right address, or else our prayer will not reach God's throne of grace. Sadly, many people today pray to the wrong person, to the wrong God or gods. For instance, in the Old Testament, some prayed to Baal, a false god. Do you remember that story in 1 Kings chapter 18, where the prophets, false prophets, prayed to Baal? There we read in verse 26, they called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no voice, and no one answered. Why no answer? Because they prayed to a false god. And so, it is vital, essential that we know the address when we pray to God. And here's the address, simple. Our Father in heaven. Address your petition to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you probably ask silently, who is this Father? Who is this Father who is in heaven? Well, that expression, our Father in heaven, or in King James, our Father who art in heaven, is another way of saying our Father who is God. That this Father to whom we address our prayer is the Almighty God. First of all, He is all-powerful. That's why every Sunday we recite the Apostles' Creed and we declare that we believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. This is the Father with whom nothing is impossible. The God with whom nothing is too hard. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, Jesus says, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you." And so, whatever problems you have this morning, think of who your Father is. He is all-powerful, able to provide all your needs according to His good pleasure. He can help you. He is sovereign also. He controls everything. Not one of the birds or the sparrows will fall to the ground apart from His knowledge and apart from His will. Yes, He knows all your needs. Yes, He understands the severity of your pain. He knows exactly the trials that you are going through. He can relate to you. He understands you. He is holy. He is in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, and heaven is a place of holiness. And therefore, when we come to Him, we must do so with reverence and respect. He is perfect. Our earthly fathers are not perfect. They make mistakes. But our Heavenly Father is absolutely perfect. He is just and righteous. And because He is perfect, all the blessings that we receive from Him are also perfect. Perfect for our own needs. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the heaven of lights. This Heavenly Father is also good. He is altogether good. He is our good shepherd, the shepherd who cares for His sheep. He is the God who only doeth wondrous things to His children. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? He is good. And he is also loving. He loves us unconditionally. God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He is approachable. He delights to hear the prayers of his children. He welcomes sinners. Yes, he is holy. But he rejoices when sinners come to him in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Thus, the opening words, now listen now please, the opening words of the Lord's Prayer are meant to encourage you and me to pray to our Heavenly Father. Sadly, in many Reformed churches today, there is a mistaken notion that only the very advanced believers can call God their Father. Many would even hesitate to recite the Lord's Prayer because of that opening line that says, "Our Father." There is also this mistaken idea that God is an angry God, period. And so they don't want to come to Him lest they only receive wrath or anger from Him. Well, yes, it is true that our God is an angry God. In fact, according to Psalm 7 verse 11, there we read, God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day, every hour, every minute, every second. But He is not angry with those who believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For He loves them with the love with which He loved His own beloved Son. And so please come to Him and say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Having said that, if Jesus teaches us to address our prayer to His Father, can we pray to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus does not say here, this is how you pray. Pray to me or pray to the Holy Spirit. Instead, He clearly says, pray to my Father. Say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Martin Luther, the German Protestant reformer, said that when we pray to Jesus, we need not worry that the Father and the Holy Spirit will be angry on this account. They know that no matter which person we call upon all three persons and upon the one God at the same time. For we cannot call upon one person without calling upon the others, because the one undivided divine essence exists in all and in each person. John Owen, this great Puritan theologian, in his treatise called Communion with God, said, actually, he encouraged believers to fellowship with each person of the Trinity. He wanted believers to be Trinitarian in their prayer. And I think this is very important because sometimes we attribute things to, let's say, the Father that He did not do. For example, you don't want to say, "Our Heavenly Father, thank you for dying for us. He did not die for you. It was His Son who died for us." You don't say, "Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for sending your Heavenly Father to us." No, it was the Father who sent His Son to us. But it was the Lord Jesus Christ who sent His Spirit to us. So we must learn to pray distinctly. For example, you can say, "Our Triune God, my Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son." And you can say, "Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. And my blessed Holy Spirit, thank you for opening my eyes so I could see the beauty of the cross, the glory of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." And so I agree with Samuel Rutherford, this Puritan pastor who said, "I don't know which person of the Trinity I love the most, but this I know, I love each of them and I need them all." Nevertheless, here in our prayer, the Lord's Prayer, we are taught to address our petition to our Father in heaven. And that's the first implication of this portion of the Lord's Prayer. And here's the second implication. Those who believe in Christ have the right to call God their Father. One of the benefits of the gospel is the privilege of calling God as our Father. God gives this right to those who receive His Son by faith. Please go to John chapter 1 verse 12. John chapter 1 verse 12. There we read, "But to all who did receive Him, to all who did receive Jesus, who believed in His name, He," referring to God the Father, "gave the right to become children of God." What God the Father is saying in that verse is this: if you receive my Son, I will also receive you as my child. I will receive you to be my son or daughter. But if you reject my Son, I will also reject you. I remember when I was engaged to Sarah, now my wife, Pastor Bart Elsout, now my father-in-law, told me, and I quote him, "From now on, start calling me Dad." From now on, the moment I got engaged to his daughter, he said, "Start calling me your Dad." So you see, one of the blessings of my relationship with Sarah is the privilege of calling her Dad my Dad. And how true! The moment we were married to Jesus Christ by faith, we also received this privilege of calling the Father of Jesus Christ our Father. Yes, I know at first you may feel awkward to call the father of your fiancé dad. And I remember I was intentionally avoiding to call Pastor El South my dad. But I got used to it. As I grew in my relationship with my father-in-law. And maybe you feel the same. Maybe you are a new Christian, a new believer in Christ. And you're not so used to calling God your father. But that's the reality. That's one of the blessings that you have received. When you were married to Jesus Christ. And so, there we see too that in Christ, we become members of God's family. And what a great privilege to be a part of God's family. And in that family, God Himself is our Father. This is a perfect family because no family on earth is perfect. But this family of God is absolutely perfect. And in Christ, we have become members of that family. And that means too that since we are now members of that family, we have the full rights to come to God and to enjoy all the blessings that He has stored for us. I remember too, when I got engaged to Sarah, my father-in-law said, everything that we have in this house is now yours. But of course, the context in which he said that, everything inside the fridge. I may freely open the fridge. I may freely eat everything that is inside that fridge. And I must confess again that at first, I felt hesitant. Because you wanted to impress your parents-in-law. You don't want to. Imagine this. You just met your parents-in-law-to-be. And then right away, so you meet them in their house and you just go to their fridge and open it and then take this and that. Boy, I tell you, your parents-in-law-to-be might say to your fiancé or that girl that you're courting, I think, daughter, you have to think about this guy. He's so rude. But my friend, listen now, please. In Christ, we have obtained access to God's throne of grace. That's why we read in Romans chapter 5 verse 2, through Him, through Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access by faith into God's grace, into God's presence. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. In Christ, we have full rights to enjoy all the benefits of our membership into God's family. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every blessing in the heavenly places. My question to you is this: are you taking advantage of that access that has been given to you? Are you using it? You see, if I starve, so let's say I was visiting my parents-in-law in their house, and they said, okay, you can eat whatever you want in this house. You can use this and that. Feel free to take a bath or a shower, use this soap or whatever. If I stink, if I go hungry, I cannot blame them. It's my fault. Oh yes, sometimes we feel shy. But why be shy? Come boldly to God's throne of grace. That access has been given to you so free. And you know what's nice? When Jesus says, this is how you pray, our Father in heaven. Note that plural pronoun, that possessive pronoun, our Father, which stresses the fact that when we come to God, we come not alone. For we come to God with Jesus Christ. This is how you pray as He is talking to His disciples. Say, our Father. He is assuring His disciples that they don't stand before God alone. For Jesus is going to accompany them. It's like meeting the king of, let's say, of a certain country. And then the son of that king came to you and said, do you want to meet my daddy? Are you sure I can do that? I'm just an ordinary person. I'm nobody. Oh, come on. I'm going to escort you all the way to his kingdom. Come. 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 And then you come with that son. And then the son will say to his father, Dad, I want you to meet my friend, my newly found friend. His name is Brian Najafor. And I'm giving him access to come to you. Do you think the king will despise, will reject that? No. For the sake of his son, the king will receive that stranger. We have been received into God's presence because of Jesus Christ. Our Father. The moment or every time you pray to God, think of this, that you are not coming to Him alone. Jesus is with you. And you also have the Holy Spirit who is enabling you to cry out, Abba, Father. Yes, there are times that you don't feel like praying to God. Probably because of your sin, you don't want to come to Him. You feel ashamed of your sin. And I have many of those moments too. I don't want to come to Him anymore. It's like my daughter, I remember Anna, when she did something that she knew she was not supposed to do. There was that sense of shame and guilt she would run away from me. Because she knew that Daddy would, in the first place, spank her. But not only that, she knew that she offended me. And so I come to her. And of course, I tell her, Anna, you were not supposed to do that. Say sorry to Daddy, Choi. And then I assure her, you are forgiven. In Jesus Christ, we have assurance of pardon. And so come, oh come, to our Heavenly Father. That's why, if you do not have Jesus Christ, there is no way for you to reach God's throne of grace. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have the power to call God your Father. And so it is a must that you possess the Son if you want to possess the Father. And here's the third implication of this portion of the Lord's Prayer. Those who don't believe in Christ have no right to call God their Father. In John chapter 8, the Jews who don't believe in Jesus Christ think that they can call God their Father. They're boasting about it on the basis of the fact that Abraham is their father. And therefore, they're saying, you see, we came from Abraham and therefore the God of Israel is also our God. He is our Father. But Jesus said to them in John 8:44, "You are of your father, the devil." Straightforward. You think that my father is your father, but you don't believe in me? Your father is the devil. But in Christ, God can be our Father. Galatians 3 verse 26 says, "In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." Through faith in Christ, we can pray to God and say, "Our Father who art in heaven." Now here's the question. In what way, or ways, plural, has God become our Father? Spiritual Father. In what ways? In two ways. First, by regeneration or rebirth. And we read that in 1 John chapter, or John chapter 1 verse 12 and then verse 13. "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." The Jews in chapter 8 of John, they thought that because they were born into God's covenant, because they were Jews, because Abraham was their father, physically, they had that connection to Abraham. They thought that on that basis, God could be their heavenly Father too. But because they didn't believe in Jesus, Jesus said, "No, your father is the devil." But those who believe in Christ are those who were born again, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, please listen to this. This is so precious. The moment you were born again, you became a child of God. The moment God regenerated your dead soul, God became your Father. The moment you received spiritual life, God became your spiritual Father. Let me illustrate my point here. My wife and I, we have a 3-month-old boy, son. The moment our son, his name is James. The moment James was conceived, right there, he became my child. And I became his father. Oh yes, he was not aware of that truth. But the truth remains, he is my son. I am his father. When James was born, I started introducing myself to him, although I had been doing that even when he was still in his mom's womb. But when he was born, when I saw him face to face, I started introducing myself to him, saying to him, even if he could not understand me, I said to him, "James, this is your daddy. You are my son. And I tell everyone in that room, in that hospital, this is my son." Again, baby James did not know that. But as he grows, he becomes aware of that reality. He's now 3 months old, and when I call him, James, baby James, this is Daddy, somehow he recognizes my voice. He turns. Oh, my daddy's calling me. And as he grows and grows, and when the time comes that he himself can utter those words, he can say to me, "My daddy." And I cannot wait for that moment when I can hear myself, my son, calling me Dada. And I tell you, that stirs my heart. And I know that from experience because of Anna, who now can say to me, Daddy. And then, actually, Dada, and then Daddy, and then Dad, right? You know, they, as they grow. Now, here's my point. When God regenerated your dead soul, at that moment, you became a child of God. And you probably don't know that. And yes, we don't know. That's why we call the doctrine of regeneration a secret. It's a mystery. But as you grow in your Christian life, as you mature, and as God in His Word continues to reveal Himself to you, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, who bears witness to your spirit that you are a child of God, you then start crying out boldly, Abba, Father. And by the way, the word Abba there in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it's an Aramaic word. It's so common during the time of Jesus Christ. It means Dada. Right, children? When you call your father, you call him Daddy or Dada. And that denotes our close and intimate relationship with God. Think about that. Like my son, James. I call him my son. And I cannot wait until that moment when he can say to me, Daddy, that binding, that so precious, that relationship. Oh, I cannot even imagine despising my son. Oh, I love my son so much. And our Heavenly Father loves you so much too. And He can love you because of His Son. He hated His Son once upon a time at Calvary so that He could love you with all His love. So you can call Him Abba Father. And that kind of relationship too that we have with God, that word Abba or Father, it denotes our childlike trust in Him. Since He is our Father, we come to Him with that childlike faith. And I imagine if my daughter was here right now and I said to her, okay, Anna, jump. She would jump because she trusts her Dada. Do we trust our Abba Father when our God says, I know, I understand all your sorrow. I understand all the pain that you're going through. I know that you have that cancer. I know that you have that illness and disease. But I want you to trust me. Please trust me. I am your Father. I care for you. And as my father, of course, I'm not going to jeopardize the health or the life of my daughter. I love her so much. And God the Father does the same to us. When He says, do this, all His commandments are for our good. God is not a killjoy God. He wants us to be happy. But the thing is this, the only way to be happy is to trust and obey. But we think that it's the other way, that if we disobey God, we will be happy. No! God says, obey me, follow me, I am your Father. So how has God become our Father? Through rebirth, through regeneration, and then second, through adoption. Through adoption. Ephesians 1 verse 5. God predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. You know, if I were to choose between the doctrine of justification and doctrine of adoption, I would probably choose to preach on the doctrine of adoption. Why? Well, I love these doctrines both. I love them both. Please don't take me wrong about this. But what I'm going to say to you is this. In justification, we have been declared just or righteous before God through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, in adoption, we have been declared children and daughters of God. Think about that. God has given us that special, unique relationship, that special privilege, that despite all our sinfulness, this God who is holy, holy, holy has allowed us to call Him our Father. Think about that. I don't know if you really understand the weight of my point here. Maybe pause for a moment and let that thought go down into your heart. Think about this. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. We have offended God. And yet now, through this adoption, in Jesus Christ, He's saying to you, now call me your Father. You are no longer my enemy. Come to me. I love you. I care for you. I care for you. Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Imagine that. Jesus, our elder brother, is saying to us, I am ascending. Of course, He has ascended already. I have ascended to my Father and your Father. We belong to the same family. And do you know what's the Father's ultimate goal in that family? To conform us to His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the Father is doing every day to us. We have been children, given that privilege to be children of God because of Jesus. And God the Father, every day, is conforming you and me to the likeness of His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Call God your Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You so much for this simple truth that we have in Your Word, that this holy, righteous, just God is our Heavenly Father. We thank You, Lord, for the blessing of calling Him as such. Oh Lord, we don't deserve it. We call Him our Father because of Your grace. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we thank You for purchasing that access for us so we can approach Your Father, our own Father, And our Holy Spirit, we also thank you for your ministry in us, helping us to remember that this God is our Abba, Father. We pray all this thing in Jesus' name. Amen.